Let's continue to worship Him. He is worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, I praise you, Lord. I worship you, God. I lift up your holy name. Praise God. You may be seated. Anybody here like Thanksgiving as much as I do? Oh, wow. I'll tell you, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday of the year for obvious reasons. No, I just like, I like the food. I like the fellowship. And occasionally I like to watch football. So you have the three F's going on. It's a wonderful time. But you know, as Pentecostals, we really have a heads up on just about everybody that does not understand or believe our doctrine, because we are one day going to be walking on streets of gold. Amen. Praise God. We're going to be going down to see my grandson, Richard, down out of the Great Lakes Naval Training Center outside of that. And we're looking forward to that, seeing him with his uniform on and all that business. May have to Indian wrestle him or something just to show him that I'm still in charge. Praise God. You know, Thanksgiving being such a special time for us to reflect on the things that God has provided for us. But I want to just take the word thanksgiving, and pull it out of the holiday, if you will, and put it into a scriptural context that you might be able to take this, some of the principles that God has showed me as I began to study this. And I realize there's some things that we can do as believers to allow the power that's in thanksgiving to be released into our lives in such a way that I believe will be a blessing unto you. If you've been in our life classes, I think most of you are aware of the fact that we are certainly taught that by applying certain biblical principles in our life that we can see things happen in our life. We can sow and reap financially. We can sow and reap various aspects of our life, things can begin to happen. And many of you are sitting here today that have had transformed lives by applying these basic principles to your life. And I believe tonight that you're going to be able to receive a few principles here that would meet that same criteria. And that's, there's some things that you can sow, and there's some things, definitely things that you can reap. And Brother Grant, and many times has talked to us about that God is very predictable. There's certain things, if you do them consistently, you will reap the benefits of your consistency. So if you have your Bibles with you this evening, I would like to turn your attention to 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 18. A lot of scripture, so you can just remain seated. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:12, "And we beseech you, therefore, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. See that none other render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice evermore." Rejoice evermore. "Pray without ceasing." Everybody say, "Pray without ceasing." "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Over the years, I think I've read that those particular passages of scriptures, particularly the scripture, "Pray without ceasing." Has anybody heard the teaching of Pastor Grant on praying without ceasing? Basically saying that you can pray without ceasing. If you pray until you do, you can't stop. So your life will be a constant chorus of prayer. But I'll be honest with you, there's times when I struggle with praying without ceasing. And be honest with you again, I've struggled at times in verse number 18, in everything give thanks. Anybody ever have that problem? So let's go back for a moment and focus on these three short scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, the Bible says rejoice. That last word there says evermore. In other words, you don't stop rejoicing. You continue to rejoice. You continue to pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, as many times as I've quoted and read those scriptures, I never tied in verse number 16 and how that ties all of these, or these two scriptures together. You know, the command to pray without ceasing is sandwiched between rejoicing always and everything, give thanks. I want to just read to you what the Amplified Bible says about rejoicing always. It says, be happy in your faith. Rejoice and be glad-hearted continually. Always be rejoicing. The Message puts it this way in verse number 16. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray at all time. Thank God no matter what happens. I don't know about you, but I really enjoy being around happy people. Do you like being around happy people? People like Tim Gallup that smile all the time. He just gave me a big smile trying to get my attention there. But there's something about positive, happy people that you want to, you sort of gravitate towards them, don't you? Their cup is always half full, not half empty. And they're always encouraging other people. They're always reaching out, trying to improve the conditions around them, or trying to encourage people around them. I enjoy being around those type of people. I enjoy being around Pastor Grant and Brother Hawk. And there's so many people here at Calvary Gospel Church that are in that category. They're positive. You know why? Because they've chosen to be positive. They've made a conscious choice that this is the way to live. This is the doctrine that's going to take me from mortality to immortality. I don't care what's going on around me. No circumstance, nothing should be able to separate us from our love in Christ Jesus. Praise God. You know, circumstances can change. Things can happen in your life. But our relationship with Jesus Christ should be a constant. You know, people in the world are drawn to people who are positive, who are happy, who have something to say in a positive nature. Those of you that are working in a secular job, you know what? If you're living this life, people will gravitate towards you. They may not like you, but I can guarantee you this, they'd rather be around you because you're not talking about your neighbor, you're not speaking evil of the boss, you're being very happy and you're rejoicing and you're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think God likes to hang around happy people. You think that that might be true? The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And when you begin to praise God with your whole heart, people around you feel it. They feel and they sense the fact that you've got something going. They don't understand what it is because they don't understand the Holy Ghost. But they know something's going on in your life, and that's what draws people initially many times to a Bible relationship. You know, the Bible warns us about being a murmurer, being a complainer, being someone who's never satisfied with things, no matter where in their relationship with other folks or at their job site or at their church. The temperature's either too hot, Brother Dave, or it's too cold. It's either the lights are too high or they're too low. They never seem to be satisfied. Their car is either too fast or it's too slow. Praise God. But the Bible says in everything, actually the Amplified Bible in verse number 18 says this, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and meditator of that will. And the Message says this, thank God no matter what happens. An attitude of gratitude will keep you on a keen spiritual level because circumstances should not be able to throw you off of your spiritual walk if you have put together these three principles. And that's rejoicing always, pray without ceasing. And if you do that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to want to give thanks for everything that happens to you because all things work to the good of those who love the Lord. I just read a commentary here from Matthew Henry's commentary, and I thought it was really good. It said, a truly religious life is a life of constant joy. Doesn't the Bible say we are to have joy unspeakable and full of glory? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And we should rejoice more. We would rejoice more if we prayed more. Who? We would rejoice more if we prayed more. Prayer will help forward all lawful spiritual business and every good work. Wow. If we pray without ceasing, we shall not lack reason for thanksgiving in everything. Is that good? That is really, really good. Now, if you're having trouble rejoicing, this is what can happen. You know, there is such a thing as identity theft. Most of you have read about it in the newspaper, or maybe some of you. I think Brother Dave Shroud actually experienced identity theft. It is a horrible, horrible thing to go through. It takes hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to reconstruct your credit. Identity theft doesn't happen all at once. It happens when people begin to gather bits of information and steal them from you. Praise God. I believe there's a spiritual identity theft that can be going on in your life, and it steals. The devil will sneak into your life and take just a little bit of joy and a little bit of peace and a little bit of love for God and a little bit of your prayer life. And little by little, he has a plan and a plot. The plot is to steal your rejoicing. He wants to keep you from making a constant effort in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And trust me, nobody is immune to this spiritual identity theft. Everyone sitting in the sound of my voice, I can tell you that there's times in your life when you're not on the top of your spiritual ball game, so to speak. But you know, if you look into the perfect law of liberty, if you keep your mind and your heart focused on Jesus Christ and keep the Word of God in front of you at all times, using that as the barometer, the plumb line, using that in a way to keep yourself in the way that God wants you to be. It's easy sometimes to forget where we came from. It's very easy, Brother Hawk, to forget what I was like before I came into this church. What was my life like back in those days of wine and roses? My goodness, I can't even tell you how ashamed I am of some of the things I was involved in. But nevertheless, the Bible tells us that there's a way that we can keep away from going back into those things. The Bible talks about in the book of Isaiah, it said, remember the rock where you were hewn from and the pit that you were digged. In other words, don't ever forget where you came from. It's the best way to keep yourself from being sucked back into the pit or into the hole. That will keep you from falling backwards, and that will allow you to continue to rejoice every more. Every morning I get up, I have this feeling of joy come over my heart. I look around in the best home that I've ever owned in my life. I look over and see my wife, who I dearly love, and I know that I'm in the right place at the right time, and that God has blessed me beyond anything that I ever thought could ever happen to me. James 1:24 says this, it's possible for a man to behold himself and go away and straightway forgetteth the manner of man he was. Praise God. The Bible says that we need to continue to remember what manner of man we used to be. Not because we want to drag ourselves back there, but we want to have a big line drawn. There must be a big chasm between where we were, and we need to periodically go over there and look over there. And this is why it's so good for us to be involved in ministry. When you're involved in ministry, then you're rubbing shoulders with people who are in serious spiritual trouble that need a guide to pull them out of the miry clay. And those of you that have been addicted or those of you that have had some social problems, who better could tell someone about Jesus Christ than someone who has been delivered from the same miry clay? Amen. Praise God. The Thanksgiving prayer is such a wonderful thing. It is so powerful. It is so mighty, that it will change the lives. Somebody stole my notes. I can't believe it. It was the copy machine. Oh, it's back. Senior moment. Okay. Let me go back to Isaiah 51:1. There's a familiar scripture. I want to just read that so you'll get a chance maybe to write it down if you want to take a look at it later. It says, "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness." That would be you and I, following after righteousness, right? "Ye that seek the Lord," that'd be you and I. "Look unto the rock where ye were hewn into the hole of the pit whence ye were digged." Praise God. So the only way that I can see that we can keep, you know, when we lose our first love, if we lose that intense feeling we have when we are bound in the kingdom of God, when we lose that fire, we need to desperately look at ourselves. We need to reconstruct that experience again and again. Because if we're losing our ability to rejoice, if we're not praying like we need to be, if we're praying and we're ceasing to pray at times, things can go bad in a real fast way. But the prayer of thanksgiving can draw you right back into right relationship with Jesus Christ. It is one of the most powerful tools, probably unused by many people. But the heart that's filled, don't you like to be around thankful people? You do something for them, boy, and they give you a little card, or they, you know, it's just nice to know that you are being loved and people are understanding that you are reaching out to them. Praise God. The prophet Jonah in Jonah 2 and 1 found himself at the bottom of the ocean in the belly of a giant fish. And the amazing thing about this story that I had never really read before is what actually got Jonah out of the bottom of the ocean in the belly of a whale. Bible says in Jonah 2 and 1, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God and out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods encompassed me all about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. The waters encompassed me about, so even to the soul the depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth and her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto me in thy holy temple." Jonah 2 and 8, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." You ever consider that scripture? When you forsake your own mercy, do you realize that the mercy of the Lord endures forever? That there is a straight and narrow path. There is a way that God has chosen to restore and redeem everybody who might stray to the left or stray to the right. But people every day forsake the very thing that God has chosen to keep them out of hell. They forsake their own mercy. They're not accepting responsibility. They're giving excuses for their behavior. Praise God. But Jonah 2:9, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. With the voice of thanksgiving I will pray that what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Praise God. One prayer of thanksgiving, the Bible says, "And the Lord spoke and unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Talk about a prayer of thanksgiving. He was down at the bottom of the ocean on his Thanksgiving prayer day and began to think about the goodness of the Lord and realized that he'd forsaken the path God had given him to get out of his mess. He had forsaken his own mercy. One prayer of thanksgiving, and the Bible says the fish vomited him out in the name of Jesus Christ. What a powerful prayer of thanksgiving. I think some of you might be bound today with things in your life that you really don't understand, or you might be overcome with grief, you might be overcome with pain, you might be overcome with bills, you might be overcome with just about anything. But see, our relationship and our thanksgiving and our rejoicing can never be totally determined by our circumstances. If we can't pray because of our circumstances, if we can't rejoice because of our circumstances, if we can't find the joy of the Lord, we are in serious spiritual trouble, because circumstances come to everybody. Life comes to everybody. We have to rise above our circumstance. We have to rise above those things that come to us in life. Praise God. We need to be able to offer up thanksgiving for it. Naked came I into this world, naked shall I return. You brought nothing into this world. You're not taking anything out of it except your relationship with Jesus Christ. Is that enough for you? Is that enough for me? It has to be. You have to determine these things before you come to the crossroads of how you're going to live the rest of your life, how your integrity is going to be played out, how your relationships are going to be played out. You have to make a determination that your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important element, the most important thing going on. I don't care what's going on in your life. You can't allow yourself to be sucked into the hole of depression or anxiety or anything else that could be happening in your life. I don't care how big your job is. I don't care how many things are going on in your life. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks for everything. It's not God's will necessarily for everything that happens to you. Bad things happen to good people, but it is God's will is to bring to resolve the issue. And the way you resolve the issue is to realize inside of you, like Jonah did, I'm going to give thanks to my Lord regardless of what's going on in my life. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, the things that we take for granted are the things that the devil steals from us. The things that we can get up and we can pray in the morning, we can do all kinds of things, and nobody stops us from praying. Nobody says we can't do this. But look what's happened in the last 20 to 30 years. We can no longer pray in our high schools. That's been stolen from us. The enemy has come and has stolen prayer from the high schools. Then we have a Columbine, but they still don't let us back in schools. We're no longer allowed, according to law, to speak freely about the Sodom and Gomorrah problems and issues. That's not acceptable anymore. It's called a hate crime. So as we progress down this road, we had better make sure in our hearts that we understand who we are and what we believe and why we believe it. And God's word is true. It's forever settled in heaven, and I've got to settle it in my heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn to Daniel 6 and 7. What another great man of God. And here's another man that prayed a prayer of thanksgiving that had monumental consequences. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. I love what Daniel did. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he did what he's been doing all along, praying without ceasing. Offering up thanksgiving. He went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So you want to be ready for what's coming. We don't know what's going to be coming, but we can look at the back of the book and understand that the door of opportunity to freely worship like we are worshiping and freely loving God like we are loving him is closing quickly. I say it's closing quickly. You don't have to go too far out of the United States. If you mention the name of Jesus Christ in the 3 billion population of the Arab world, you'll find out just how much liberty there's left in the world. It's closing. You go to China where there's over 6 billion people and there's thousands and thousands of people who are incarcerated because of the name of Jesus Christ. You can go to the Sudan and find out that it's not about anything else but Christianity versus any other religion. What a privilege we have. I want to be able to be in the habit of offering up prayers of thanksgiving now while I can. So when this comes, if it happens in my lifetime, maybe not. I'm 68. But some of you younger people better understand something. Things are coming. Things are coming our way. The Bible tells us there's going to be a day that we're going to have to stand in front of some magistrate, and either we're going to take the mark of the beast or we're going to not be able to eat. And then, you know, the other option is to lose your head. Praise God. And Brother Grant's preached this many times. He said, you know, if someone won't live for God when there's no persecution, the chances of them living for God when there is persecution is zip zero. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's another Bible in the story that's probably my favorite story. It has to do with 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. And I think all of you know this story, and it's about a king named Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a king who did have a relationship with the Lord. A multitude of armies gathered around Jehoshaphat's kingdom, and they had determined they were going to overthrow the kingdom. Panic set in all over the land. People really didn't know what to do. What are you going to do? What if the President of the United States calls the Leonardses and said, what are we going to do, Brother and Sister Leonardson? We're surrounded. I like what the Lord tells Jehoshaphat. He said, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So he instructs the Leonardsons. He said, listen, he said, yes, the Taliban is all over around the county of Dane here, and they're about to attack. So I want you to call together the choir. Get your praise teams together, and we're going to march out throughout the streets of Dane County, and we're going to declare victory. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be exciting? There's real commitment for choir, wouldn't it? How many choir members would we have if the praise team was asked to go out in front of the tanks and all the munitions and all the things that are out there? But see, that's what could happen. It could very well happen. It may not happen that way. But some of you are facing some of the biggest battles in your life, but you need to understand the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Look what the Bible says here in how they overcame that. The Bible says he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should they should praise the beauty of holiness. I'm glad we're in a holiness church, Brother Grant. I'm glad our ladies look like ladies and our men look like men. But you couldn't call too many choirs out, Brother and Sister Larson, because they couldn't very well praise the beauty of holiness if they weren't living it, right? So we have a choir that could go out and praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out and they said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise God. Boy, those were back in the days when commitment to choir was a big deal. Brother Pat O'Malley, can you see him on the street corner with his Van Halen guitar strumming out? I had to bring that in because when Brother Patrick first came to church, I heard this loud, loud music, and it was coming from the back room, and I didn't know who in the world was doing it. It sounded like, I don't know who was back there playing, but I thought, somebody must have a boombox back there. And I come back there, and Patrick's up there. He's got shorts on, or Bermuda shorts, and he is getting with it. I mean, he is gyrating and playing, and he didn't have the Holy Ghost yet, so he was just getting on, just rocking and rolling. Now I can see him doing that for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Then we have the wonderful story of Paul and Silas. They were in Philippi. They had been beaten. They were cast into the inner prison. For those of you that have never been incarcerated, that would be the hole. That would be where nobody wants to go. And back in those days when you were in the inner prison, man, you were in the inner prison. You were in a place that you didn't want to be. There were rats and there was stench and there was no sewage and you didn't get to eat very much and their feet were in stocks. Praise God. But you know what? It didn't stop Paul and Silas because they had already come to the, they'd been praying without ceasing and rejoicing. They knew how to abound. They knew how to be abased. They didn't particularly care where they were at. In fact, the Bible says that they were rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name's sake. Hallelujah. So Acts 16:22, the Bible says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, Paul could have called his attorney. He could have called the ACLU and said, this is unfair treatment, but he didn't. He decided that it would be a great idea for him and Silas to begin a midnight prayer meeting. Let's pray all night. After all, we're here. This is great that God has put us in this position. They want to thank God for all things, so let's thank God for that. Let's start praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you relate to that? I don't think I've got to that point, Pastor Grant, where I could be in solitary confinement knowing that I was going to die and begin to praise the Lord. This is really great. Let's sing some songs. Where's our choir leader? Who's got the boom box? It didn't happen that way. They just felt real good about being in Lord's will at the right time in the right place. Woo-hoo, as Brother Noah Strand says. Woo-hoo. Now, I know there's something about rejoicing that I don't think we understand fully how it sucks the poison, how it sucks the pain, how it sucks the heartache out of circumstances. You have to do it before you feel it. You have to experience it while you're still feeling the pain. But it brings something into the equation that wasn't there before. It is the Spirit of God, because he inhabits the praises and the prayers of his people. So regardless of what's happening, prayer and thanksgiving will bring God into this, infuse the Holy Spirit's power into your equation. And you know what? You have to do this even while you're in the midst of the darkest moment of your life. When things are looking so desperate that you cannot possibly imagine anything getting any worse than it is. I was privileged to be with Pastor Grant, and I can tell you, if you want to know what kind of character he has, he was getting ready to be wheeled into the hospital operating room. They're about to whack about a lot of feet of his intestines off. There were things going on in his body. They told him that there was a large cancerous tumor on his intestine that was pressing against his liver. They had no idea if it was out of the box, so to speak. And I was down in that room. I wouldn't think I was supposed to be there, but I went anyway. I had to see something. I don't know why I went down there, but I just felt like I needed it. Anyway, I went down there, and we talked just for a brief moment. And I said, Pastor Grant, I just wanted to pray with you before they took you in, and all these people are laying around there. And he said, Brother Thomas, God has been so good to me. No matter what happens, God has been so good to me. I thought, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Now, isn't that the way you want to live your life? Don't you want to... If there ever comes a time when your life is on the line, that you want to know that God has been so very good to me. I have no regrets, Brother Thomas. I have no regrets. Things haven't been easy for Pastor Grant. Things haven't been easy for some of you, but you're still praising the God of heaven, and I'm so thankful that I'm in this church. See, we need to be able to go to the gates of heaven and boldly declare the things that God has promised us. Let's go to Psalms 100, verse number 1. This is the path that God has chosen for his people. Psalms 100, verse number 1. A psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You ever wondered why we have so much singing in our services? Because we are ready to make a joyful noise before the Lord. We come before his presence with singing. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God, that he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We serve a good shepherd. We serve a shepherd that has laid down his life for us. But Psalms 104 gives us the complete picture. It says, enter into his gates. You're going into the throne room of the Almighty God, but there's a way to get in there. You have to have thanksgiving in your heart. And it's got to be there before you get to the crisis. You have to have this thanksgiving. You have to have a thankful spirit. You have to be rejoicing always. And into his courts with praise. You're not there yet, but they've opened the door, the gates, now you're in because you were entered in with thanksgiving. So God likes that. He opens up the doors so you can enter in. But then, and then into his courts. We're still not right before him with praise. And then be thankful. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that we then can come boldly to the throne room of God. We can boldly declare the promises of God. We can hold fast to our confession of faith in the absolute integrity of the Word of God. We're no longer confined to the flesh. We're looking at the Spirit of God and the Word of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to end this service tonight, and this is just a little... There's so many scriptures that pertain to the power of thanksgiving. You know, the Bible says if we love the Lord, we will keep his commandments. I don't know of any other principle in the scripture that has more scripture, more commandments than giving thanks or thanksgiving. They're not there. And I know we're going into the Thanksgiving season, and I love Thanksgiving. But, you know, we need to remember what the Bible says about thanksgiving. Many of these are from the book of Psalms. It's reported that David wrote 73 of the 150 Psalms. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know this, that most of these are songs, but they're so beautiful. And I want you to stand with me, and we're going to read these out loud together. We're going to do it very quickly. We don't want to spend a lot of time, but... I want you to say these as a prayer. I want you to remember what this really means to you, because there could be a day when your things are not going to be so much in your favor. There could be a day, and it could be tomorrow, that you're going to need to do this. I will offer up to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Go ahead and say it with me, would you? Sacrifice of thanksgiving will call upon the name of the Lord. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and I pay the vows unto the Most High God. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name on high. Therefore will I give thanks unto the Lord, O Lord among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Your part is to say it with me. Psalms 30:12, to the end, that my glory may sing praises to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. Psalms 33:1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is commonly unto the upright. Psalms 35:18, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Psalms 34, sing unto the Lord, all ye saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of the Lord of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. Psalms 97:12. Seems like we're not on the same page here. Let's go to Psalms 105:1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Psalms 107:1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 107:22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare the works of his rejoicing. Psalms 118:1. Will give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because of his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 136:1. Will give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 136:2. Will give thanks unto the Lord, God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 136:3. O give thanks to the Lord, Lord of glories, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 136:26. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And finally, Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you, but my heart's filled with thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Eve. I have so many very, very, very much in my heart that is amazing what God has done for me. That was kind of a clumsy attempt there to try to build momentum, but I'll tell you this. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Let's lift up our hands and worship him. God, we love you and we praise you and we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I lift up your holy name. Praise God. There's no doubt people here this evening that perhaps have never had the opportunity to explore the possibility of being born again. You know, the Bible tells us that we can be born again of the water and of the Spirit. That is, that we can be washed clean of every sin we've ever committed from the day we're old enough to be accountable to the Almighty God till the day that you go down to water baptism in Jesus' name. Wash all that away. It's like the east, far as the east is from the west. But I want you to know tonight, this could be the first day of the rest of your life. Or perhaps you're here tonight and you've lost focus a little bit on rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks to the Lord for all things. I'd like to have you come tonight.